So as Jack said, my name's Erin and I'll be reading for us this morning. The first reading is Isaiah chapter 52, starting at... How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the mountains, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the articles of the Lord's house. But you who will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. And our next reading is from Luke chapter 2, from verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child of Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, gave thanks to God, and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Thank you, Erin. Good morning again, everyone. Paul Cooper's my name. Most people call me Coops. I'm the pastor. Back with you after a few weeks away, and great to see you all. I hope you've had a great rest over the Christmas and the New Year break. Looking forward to catching up with you all over morning tea. Well, let's pray as we begin and have a look at this part of Luke. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time together and for time over the Christmas break. Father, we ask now that you would calm our hearts, calm our minds as we listen to your words and we hear your message to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I thought I'd begin this morning and I'd just tell you a bit of a story about my doctor, which probably sounds a bit unusual, really, doesn't it? Having been away for a few weeks and I come back and the first thing I'm going to tell you about is my doctor. But we're all turning a year older. This year I'll be 49. And it's about that sort of vintage that you're supposed to go and see your doctor, isn't it? You're supposed to go see the doctor regularly once you get on a little bit and, make sure there's nothing going wrong. Because at 49, you're starting to put a few Ks on the clock. Well, the thing is, I try very hard not to go and see my doctor. Very hard not to go and see him. In fact, I even tell him that. So on the rare occasion that I do go and see him, I'll say things like to say, I'm looking forward to seeing you again and I'll see you soon, but I'm really not. And in fact, if I don't see you for a very long time, that would be great. And he has a good sense of humour and he laughs and sort of waves me out of the office. And I've even said to him, Now that I'm in my late 40s, I reckon it's even more important that I don't come and see you. Because if I come and see you, if I don't come and see you, you can't find anything wrong with me. And if you don't find anything, then that means there's nothing wrong, right? And he just laughed at me and nodded his head as I walked out. Now, it's a bit irrational, I guess, isn't it, really? But I really don't want to go and see him. Because if I do, he'll do all the blood tests. He'll check my blood pressure. He'll check my cholesterol. He'll do all that other stuff that doctors do. And what he'll do is he'll expose the state of my health. He'll reveal the condition of my body. That's what a good doctor does. That's a bit confronting to have all of those things exposed. And in a way, what we've just heard in this passage about Jesus, in a way, Jesus is a little bit like that. It's a little bit like that. Or cholesterol or blood sugar that Jesus reveals. Now, Jesus reveals something that's actually much more important than those physical things. Something much more important than the physical condition. He exposes the spiritual condition of people. He reveals the condition of people's hearts. So you can avoid your doctor, and I'm pretty good at it. Although I imagine I won't be able to avoid him for much longer. He's pretty diligent. But theoretically, you can avoid your doctor. But you can't avoid Jesus. And when Jesus comes near, the condition of your heart becomes known. See, he exposes the spiritual condition of people, whether we want it exposed or not. Jesus reveals the true condition of the heart. Because it's a heart that's either willing to respond to Jesus or it isn't. There's no sort of third condition there. It's one or the other. It's either willing to respond or it's not. And so this morning, as we get back into this Gospel of Luke, we see some examples of hearts that do respond to Jesus. And we see what that looks like. And their response to Jesus as well. So as this account that Aaron just read for us, as that begins, the first people we see are Jesus' parents as they present Jesus at the temple. And what we notice is that they've followed it to the letter. They are very faithful Israelites, the parents of Jesus. They brought Jesus up to be circumcised on the eighth day as required by the law. They've called him Jesus, just as the angel Gabriel told them to, if you remember that. Just prior to Christmas. They've waited the days that are required after childbirth, and they offer a sacrifice of a couple of birds to be considered clean again by the law. And they've come to the temple in Jerusalem to present their firstborn son to the Lord, just as the Lord commanded all of the Israelite families to do. Now, there's a lot in that, and we could probably do a talk on each of those laws and why they existed, but we want morning tea while it's still morning, so we're not going to do that today. But what Luke is trying to make us aware of here is not so much why these laws exist, but that Mary and Joseph follow them to the absolute letter. In everything to do with their son Jesus, they are obedient, very obedient. See, what we notice here is that they follow the will of their Lord the very best way that they can. Next, they meet the man Simeon at the temple. He's not a priest. He's just a simple man who is righteous before the Lord. This is a devout man. And what that means is God's comfort. He's been waiting for God to comfort his people. And the prophet Isaiah, about 700 years before Jesus, he wrote about how God would do that, how he would provide his comfort. He wrote about how God would redeem his people, how God would restore fellowship with his people, how he would rescue them. And that's what this man Simeon's been waiting for. And God told Simeon that you will not die until you see this. And Simeon sees it through the Spirit. Simeon recognizes Jesus. He sees this is it. This is how it's all going to work. God's comfort to his people is here. It's arrived in the form of this baby Jesus. Here is God's salvation. And so now Simeon is happy to die in peace. And after Simeon, it's a busy morning for Joseph and Mary, isn't it? After Simeon, they meet Anna. And Anna is this devoted woman of God, very devoted. The passage there described her as having been married, and back then, people got married pretty young, in their teens often. But the thing is, she stayed a widow until she was 84. She never remarried. Instead, all those years, dedicated her life to serving the Lord. And Anna, here, she responds to Jesus. At that very moment, it says, at that very moment, immediately, she gives thanks to God. This account here from Luke, we meet three different parties, Jesus' parents, Simeon and Anna, the obedient, the righteous and the devoted. The obedient, the righteous and the devoted, all with hearts that respond to Jesus. Jesus' parents, they respond with willing hearts, hearts that embrace God's aim for them, willingly support God's plan. Simeon's response is to accept Jesus. He takes Jesus in his arms. He embraces him. He recognizes Jesus as God's salvation. He blesses God for Jesus. He feels God's peace. And he realizes that God's word has been fulfilled. Do you notice there in verse 32, if you have a look at verse 32 there with me in your handouts. Simeon said that Jesus is a light of revelation to the Gentiles. He's quoting the Old Testament prophet Isaiah from Isaiah chapter 42, where Isaiah wrote, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles." See, Simeon realizes that what God had promised would happen has happened. See, Jesus is the light that was promised. Jesus is the glory of his before. And Simeon blesses God for it. Anna's heart responds by expressing her thankfulness to God. Her thankfulness for Jesus and the redemption that he brings. Like you see there in verse 38, anyone she finds who was looking forward to the redemption of God's people, she tells them, it's here. The redemption is here in the form of this baby Jesus. They've been looking forward to this day for so long. And so Anna tells anyone who wants to know, in this little baby Jesus is the redemption of God's people, and it's arrived. Now when you hear all of that, Jesus has arrived. Everything that God promised has been delivered. God's word is true. Jesus will redeem his people. He is the one who brings salvation and comfort and peace. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It sounds wonderful, and of course it is. So what is going on with this warning that Simeon tells Mary? In verse 34. If you have a look at verse 34 with me there in your handouts, what's going on there? That warning that Simeon speaks to Mary seems quite strange, don't you think? Given how wonderful and amazing this news is. It says there in verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." He seems to be saying here, Jesus will cause the lifting up of some, but the fall of others. He will be spoken against, he'll be opposed. Now why is that? Now if Jesus is all of these good things that Simeon and Anna have recognized, if he's the salvation and the light and the forgiveness and the redemption, cause that sort of division. It's like saying there's a cure for cancer available to anyone who wants it and it completely works. But the response to the cure divides people. Some will refuse it. This reaction to Jesus, well, some will rise and some will fall. Well, Simeon explains, because he goes on to say that actually this is a thing of the heart. And Jesus will reveal it. And when the Bible talks about the heart here, what it means is the center and the source. It's the very being of what a person is. It's what they are. That's what it means. And what Simeon says here is that Jesus will expose that in people. That the condition of a person's heart will become known when Jesus draws near. And so for some, Jesus isn't the light of hope, but someone to resist. He is God's salvation, but not everyone will react like he is. And so Jesus will divide the nation of Israel, just like he still divides people today. Which seems strange, doesn't it? I mean, the biggest disease to afflict the human race is sin, the disease of sin. And through faith, Jesus cures that. So what's going on with this division that Simeon's talking about? In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah, he wrote in chapter 17 that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? See, what he's saying is that left naturally, we have a heart problem. Left naturally, the heart doesn't want God. It resists Jesus. Instead, it prefers to focus in on itself. Make itself king instead of acknowledging the real king, who's Jesus. Seeking peace through its own means instead of God's peace through Jesus. But it only leads to brokenness and to ruin. Now, it might tell us that it's not responsible, that we're not responsible, but it's deceitful. It can't be trusted. And Jesus exposes that. It's like looking into a mirror and not liking at all the reflection looking back. It's a bit like me actually coming back. I drove the Nullarbor and looked into the mirror after a few days and not particularly liking the reflection looking back. It's like that. See, that will not always be welcome. It will cause division. But here in baby Jesus is also God's solution to that heart problem. Jeremiah wrote in chapter 24 that God, give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Left naturally, we have a heart problem, but God has a solution for that, and it comes through Jesus. Fulfilled in Jesus, and it is. Jesus is God's plan to deal with this problem that left on our own, we can't fix. But with faith in Jesus, we are given new hearts. And what we see with Jesus' parents and Simeon and Anna are these hearts that are turned to God. Obedient to God, thankful to God, praying blessings to God, trusting God for his redemption and his salvation. New hearts turned to God. And that joy that Simeon and Anna felt, it's captured in what Jeremiah says. God gives new hearts to know him, to want to follow his decrees, to want to live his way. And that is a very good thing. See, the rebellious heart doesn't want that, but the heart turned to God does. God created all of this. He knows how it works. And a new heart understands that. And more than that, what he promises with this new heart is that they will be my people and I will be their God. I will be your God. I will be your God and you will return to me with all your heart. That's the joy that Simeon and Anna felt. That's the joy that we see in this passage as they see and they receive Jesus. And it's our joy too, with faith to trust him for the redemption of our sins, given to want to follow him and to be thankful for being brought to personally knowing our God. As I was reading through this passage for today, I thought, that's not a bad way to start the new year, is it? Not a bad way to start the new year, to be reminded of the heart that we've been given and to be reminded of the God who's made himself ours and this gift of turning to our Heavenly Father with all our hearts. Not a bad way to start the new year at all. Now, there may be some here this morning who are worried about what Jesus reveals in your heart. Perhaps worried that maybe it's not a new heart. If that's you here this morning, let me just say you do have a new heart through faith in Jesus. If you didn't, you wouldn't be concerned about it. Only a heart that knows God considers those things. Hearts that don't won't think about it at all. And I find that rather than looking in on ourselves, it's helpful to look out at Jesus rather than dwelling in on our own, because in the end, it's only through him that changes us and then matures the heart that he's given us. Or it may be that you're here this morning and all this talk about Jesus and new hearts just seems a bit weird. I can understand if it does. But what we've heard from the Bible in this section of Luke is that when Jesus draws near, the thoughts of the hearts are revealed. And you can't avoid Jesus. You've encountered him here this morning, actually. It's worth thinking about what's in your heart. Does renewal sound attractive? Does a relationship with God himself, where you can truly say, he is my God, does that sound attractive? That's what Jesus offers when he renews your heart. Just tell him that's what you want him to do. And I'm going to pray now that that's exactly what you do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you for the new heart that he gives us, and we ask you, Father, to please turn the thoughts of our hearts to you, that we might be thankful, obedient, and faithful. Father, we pray in gratitude for the redemption that you give us from sin, that through Jesus and hearts turned in trust to you, we're made your people, and you are our God. Father, we pray that many who do not know you personally for themselves are their God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.